Welcome to the Elite BSC Podcast, where our entire focus is helping commercial janitorial contractors succeed. You want a growing company, a thriving team, and healthy profits, and we are here to help. My name is Jordan Tong. I'm the founder of Elite BSC, a company dedicated to helping janitorial companies grow and thrive. I also serve as CEO and one of the owners of France Building Services. France is a janitorial company employing nearly 600 people. Since 2007, we grew from 1.5 million to more than 20 million in annual revenue and built what I think is one of the best teams in the world. The goal of Elite BSC in this podcast is to give owners in the industry a vision of where their company can be and the information and tools to get there. I want to share what I have learned over the years to make this a reality for you. Hey, commercial cleaning contractors, it's Jordan Tong, your host of the Elite BSC Podcast. So this is, I think, our sixth episode. One of the things that would help us out to get this podcast out there a bit more and get a little bit more traction out there in the commercial cleaning market space on the podcast platforms is for you guys to go in and like and subscribe. And even if you'd be willing to leave us a comment or review for the podcast would be helpful and much appreciated. And if you find this stuff helpful, that I would be grateful for that. So today we're going to talk about mistakes that we can make in hiring. And in particular, I'm thinking about hiring managers in the janitorial space. So we call them area managers. Some people call them area supervisors, field managers, ops manager, that sort of thing. But I think some of these things would apply even as you're thinking about hiring cleaners as well. So what I want to look at is seven interviewing mistakes that we can make. And what I'm thinking about here too is there's a book that I read a handful of years ago that's called Who, The A Method of Hiring by Jeff Smart, and I think there's one other author. And this is a great book. It was recommended to me by someone else. It's sort of a broad, like, how to hire book. But there were some things that I drew from that book that I think have some good application for us in the commercial cleaning space. So without further ado, let's talk about the seven mistakes in hiring. So mistake number one is going to be that the person that you're interviewing, that they have industry experience. So a mistake is to think that because someone has industry experience, therefore they are a good candidate. And I think it's possible that that's the case, that they might be a good candidate if they have industry experience. But it has been our experience that it's not at all a guarantee that because someone has industry experience that they're going to be a good fit for that role. So maybe they don't have much of a management background. You know, that could be a significant issue, even though you have industry experience. Also, a lot of people have picked up a lot of bad habits working for other companies. And so I think it's better to hire someone who is a good fit for the role and is teachable than to try to find someone who maybe isn't those things, but that has industry experience. So what we do in the commercial cleaning space is not rocket science. And so it's most of the technical or, you know, operational things are pretty learnable and in a pretty quick period of time. So instead of industry experience, I'm looking more for the things that, like, Patrick Lencioni would say in his Ideal Team Player book, that I'm looking for people that are hungry, humble, and smart. So that's mistake number one, industry experience, not letting that cloud your decision-making judgment there. So mistake number two is the gut feeling. So I do have a place in my life and in my rationale, and as I think about being justified in the beliefs that I have, there are times where gut feelings, or we call them instinct or that sort of thing, do play a role. But I think when we're hiring for a specific position in our organization, I don't think a gut feel is nearly good enough to make a decision. So, like, we should never hire based on that. I think a gut feel could potentially give you a negative or a red flag that should give you pause, but I want to be a little bit more objective. I want to look at some things that are a bit more tangible that I can make my hiring assessments with. And a gut feel is not necessarily the best way to do that. So I want solid data if possible, and not just a gut feel. So if you end up if you are just relying on a gut feeling, you might end up with a stomach ache. So, all right, that's mistake number two. Mistake number three, many interviewers equals comprehensive assessment. So here's the idea here. Mistake number three is that just because multiple people interview a particular person doesn't mean that you've had some sort of comprehensive, like you comprehensively understand whether or not this person's a good fit. So an example, let's say you're going to hire a field manager. And you have, you know, you as the owner interview, and let's say your spouse works at the organization, you let your spouse interview that person. And then maybe you have another, let's say you have another area manager in the organization, you let them interview as well. So you've had three different people talk to them. Well, just because you've had three people talk to them doesn't mean that you've got a good picture of how good they're going to be. It all depends on the quality of each of those individual interviews as to whether or not you have good data on whether or not they're a good fit for the job. So multiple interviews doesn't necessarily mean you're getting more comprehensive data or more comprehensive assessment. So I want to focus in on the quality of the interview and the things we're trying to get out of it in order to find out whether or not this person really is a good fit or not. So you can see, like, we're trying to dig in, like, these real surface-level things. I mean, so we've gone through three of these mistakes. These surface-level reasons that we may say, oh yeah, I'm going to hire this person, they're not quite enough to really determine, and I don't think they're a good predictor of whether or not someone's going to be a good fit in that particular role. So, okay, mistake number four is the suitor, all right? So the idea is rather than probing a candidate's background for the information you need to make an informed decision, you spend most of your time trying to sell the candidate on the company. And look, we are all guilty of this. So like if you immediately think, hey, this person might be a good fit, instead of you interviewing them, we almost act like we are the person being interviewed and we talk about how great our company is and why they would want to come work here. So the suitor assumes that the candidate's qualifications are good and they turn the table and act as if they're the one being interviewed. So I think it is important to sell your company to the right candidate, but I think that happens later in the hiring process. So I think you need to make sure, yes, this is the person that we want before you put the full court press on selling them on your organization. Okay, mistake number five. I don't see this happening as often anymore, but it certainly has. And I've heard people share stories of things that they would do. So, and it's trying to trick the candidate. All right. So an example of this would be like someone, like an interviewer in our industry, throwing a piece of trash on the ground before the interview and seeing if the interviewee would actually pick that up during the interview. Now, it's a really strange, like, hidden test, and I think what we're trying to do is, you know, uncover, you know, is there some secret character trait that this little hidden test is going to emerge that I couldn't get from questions? But again, this is so speculative, and I don't think it has any predictive power at all. You know, using the trash example, like the person may not feel at liberty to be picking trash up off the floor in the office during an interview like that. They may not feel that that's what they're supposed to do. So like it's not at all a determiner of whether or not that they're a good fit. So let's avoid trick questions, little shenanigans to try to uncover some secret quality that the person may or may not have. So, okay, mistake number six. This one is by far the one that I'm going to commit most often, and it's making friends. So often, like what I want to do, and this is, you know, in being able to sell, which is something I enjoy doing, one of the things you try to do often is to connect with somebody, like find a way that the two of you in conversation realize that you've got something in common. And you sort of build some sort of bond that allows the relationship to grow. And so while I do think it is good in an interview to talk about, you know, things that, you know, create some where the interview is not so tense, I guess, and it creates some easy moments in the interview where you get the person to relax and that sort of thing. But it's not a good idea that the purpose of the interview is to find out whether or not they're a good fit, and if you becoming friends ends up overshadowing that. So it's not about making friends. It's about finding the relevant data needed to make an informed decision. And I have had people on my team tell me before that I was rather cold in the interview. And so I probably could improve upon that a little bit. But I think I was really trying to overcompensate potentially for this particular thing. So let's try to avoid making friends during the interview process and instead focus on whether or not this person is a good fit. What I'm suggesting is that we don't try to become friends through the interview process. Because in reality, if we care about somebody, we want what's best for them, and we want them to thrive in the role that we have available. We want the right person to thrive in that role. And if you don't do a good job interviewing, you can stick somebody in a role that's just not a good, they're not a good fit for, and it could end up a disaster for them. And so our job in the interview process, and the way we can love the interviewee the most, is to really try to find out if they're a good fit or not for the particular role. Okay, last mistake that people make in the interview process is what would you do questions. So, and I've done these before, and if you go online and you Google search, you know, what are interview questions that you should ask, you're going to get lots of what would you do, and you describe a handful of scenarios. And the problem with that is, if somebody is quick on their feet, like they're going to know the kind of answer that you're looking for, and it's very likely that they're going to feed you that sort of answer. I mean, I just know if I was being interviewed and someone was asking me those questions, like I would know immediately what you're looking for, and I would respond accordingly. Not because I'm lying or being deceptive, but like you're asking me a question on how something should be handled. You're asking how I would handle it, and I'm going to answer in a way of how I should handle it, knowing that I have my flaws and weaknesses. And so these questions I just do not think are helpful, and I don't think they give you any information that is going to be helpful in making a decision. So I think a better course of action is to ask the person. We've got our mistakes here, you know, so the what would you do questions, making friends, trying to trick the candidate, trying to win them over as to why your company is the best, multiple interviews, the gut feeling, industry experience. So I think all of these are insufficient in identifying whether a person is a good fit or not. And I think a better course of action, and we may talk about it a little bit more in another podcast, is to go through someone's job history and just start asking questions about what they've done and in the past, and ask questions, okay, tell me about that. Okay, what was that role like? Tell me a little bit more about that. How did you perform? How did they measure performance there? How did you stack up versus that measurement? And just really probing and asking lots of questions. And over time, you're going to find out if that person really, you know, really knew their job and did a good job. Like you begin to tell whether or not they were competent in what they were doing as they begin to describe. And so I think a lot less talking on your end, a lot more asking questions and letting the other person talk, and the open-ended questions, lots of tell me more about that sort of questions. I think you're going to lend itself to a more successful interview that's actually going to give you some data that's going to help you figure out whether or not this person is a good fit for that particular role. There's obviously a lot more that goes into the interviewing and hiring process and ways that we can, you know, improve upon what we're doing, particularly in the role of area manager. So I think that's a key role in our industry. So there's a lot more that can be said about that. But these mistakes, I think if we can identify those and try to weed some of those out in the process, I think we're going to do a better job of interviewing and finding good fits for our company that actually are going to stay for the long haul. If you found the information in this podcast helpful, please like and subscribe on whatever podcast platform that you're using. If you would like more resources or help to grow your cleaning company, head over to elitebsc.com. We have loads of articles, videos, free tools, coaching options, and a lot more. If your company is greater than $500,000 in revenue and you want to take your learning experience to the next level, check out our mastermind group. You can learn more about that at elitebsc.com/mastermind.